Lord, right today? Praise God. Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. For my Resurrection Sunday message today, I want you to know I'm only going to be, it's going to be a shorter message because I have some important things to share with you afterwards. So don't think I'm letting you out early today. But I really have some important things to share. But I think our message may only be maybe, 20 minutes or something like that. We'll see. But it's going to be a little bit shorter. Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I want to encourage the people. Help me to encourage them. And your words are such an encouragement, Lord. Just to read the text this morning as we look in 1 Corinthians in a few moments is powerful and it brings joy and encouragement. Bless us, your people. Lord, help me to deliver that which you would have for us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you preach so many Resurrection Sundays, as I have already in my short years on Terra Firma, try and dig, you try and come up with something a little bit different, and then other times you come up and just give the same old because, we forget. So repetition is first fundamental of learning. And so, but we try and give a little different angle, different look as the years go on with and we do it. And if you're a preacher, you've been a pastor a long time, you maybe haven't given 30. I haven't yet, but I mean, like Dad had probably given 40, Resurrection Day messages, and so you try and dig, and you look for a little something for the folks, help them out, encourage them in the Lord, and but the same verses that we read year in and year out, oftentimes they're still an encouragement. Why? Because they're the words of the Lord; they're God breathed. According to Hebrews 4:12, they're quick, powerful, sharp, and two-edged sword. They have a life in them. That's what I'm talking about this morning in our Sunday school lesson: the preserved Word of God. When we look at these words that some of you have heard, and see Jerry there for 50 plus years, some of you have listening to the same words, they excite you. Mom back there, 60 years plus, hearing the same words, they're an excitement because they're alive. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, Paul tells us. And so it quickens us once again, it makes us alive to hear the Word of God, which is alive. So would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We use this as a bit of a springboard text, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. So in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ be not raised, someone says, hey, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So if Paul says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. It's worthless. It's empty. You're yet in your sins. Why do we get excited if you're here today and you don't understand why we get excited about the resurrection of the Lord? It's because through the power of the resurrection, we have received forgiveness of our sins. Paul says, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, your faith is vain, and you're still in your sins, and you're going to die in your sins. But because of the power of the resurrection, he has power to deliver us from our sins. All right? So that's something to get excited about. So verse 18, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Maybe you have a father or a mother that's passed away that was a saint that loved the Lord, and or maybe a child that died unfortunately through tragic circumstances. He says, look, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, well, they're dead. The dead's the dead. There's nothing about it. You can't do anything about it. You'll never see him again. This is if Christ didn't rise from the dead. So those that are falling asleep in Christ, they're dead. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But Christ promises the life which now is and the life which is to come. But Paul says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first fruits. He's the first one. There were other, prior to Jesus Christ rising from the dead, there were resuscitations. Lazarus, for example, is a resuscitation. His body was revived in the tomb. He came forth. He was alive. But what happened? In a few years, Lazarus perished. He did not come forth in a glorified body. Jesus Christ came out of the tomb in a glorified body to never die again. He said when the disciples were scared of him, when he walked through a wall one time with his glorified body, by the way, in our glorified bodies, we can walk through solid objects. He says, touch me. They got all freaked out. He says, touch me, feel me. He says, a ghost. He said, it's a ghost. He says, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. Why does he say flesh and bones? Why didn't he say flesh and blood? Because in a glorified body, we won't have blood. The life is in the blood. The scripture tells us that's true. Shoot me in the chest, and if I bleed out, I'm going to die. But a glorified body, it never dies. It never perishes. Therefore, Jesus said, Because any other time we'd say we're flesh and blood people. But he said, I'm flesh and bone. He didn't say flesh and blood. He was distinguishing that this new body that I have is a glorified body that will never die. You can't kill it. My body you can kill, your body you can kill, because we're flesh and blood. So Jesus here is that he is the first fruit. It's going to be harvest time real soon. It's springtime. No, we're going to harvest peaches and plums and all those kinds of things. The first fruit is the first ripe fruit that comes off the vine. Jesus is that first fruit. And because he was raised up and has a glorified body, the scriptures teach that we also that believe in Jesus Christ, we will be raised from the dead on the great triumphant day, the great consummation day, what we call the rapture, day of the rapture of the church. That day we will take on a glorified body. Now verse 21. He says, verse 20 again, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's by Adam, because of Adam's sin, all men die. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment, Scripture says. But by man, Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die, all mankind, because we're sinners. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This all here is encompassing Jew and Gentile shall be made, bringing them together. All who believe in Jesus Christ shall be made alive. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. When he comes back a second time, and he said he would come back. And the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should have to repent about something. God said he would come back. And when he comes back at his coming, we then will receive the harvest, Jesus being the first fruits, the full harvest. You and I that trust in Christ will receive a glorified body. Go to Philippians chapter 3, if you would please. Philippians chapter 3, just for a second. Philippians chapter 3, looking at verse 20. The Bible says, for our conversation, or another word for that is our citizenship, our manner of life, it's in heaven. And it's from there that we also look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be like fashioned unto his glorious body. Some of you would recall at Cleve Hunter's memorial service, I spent some time in this verse right here. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but just suffice it to say, we all agree that we have vile bodies. They get sick. They vomit, they have diarrhea, they're vile bodies. But these bodies will be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. So he shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. As the glorified body of Jesus Christ out of the tomb, so too those that believe in him will be fashioned a glorious body just like Jesus. He's the first fruits. Now with this in mind, this doctrine of, we call the doctrine of the resurrection, I want to look at something this morning for just a few minutes with you called the two resurrections, because we must be resurrected twice scripturally. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And this, you'll understand what I'm saying here in just a few minutes. Revelation chapter 20. We'll look in verse 1. Very symbolic chapter and a very symbolic book. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Let me just say here in passing, I don't believe the 1,000 years are literal 1,000 years, just like when the book of Psalms says that the Lord is the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, if God is God, what about the cattle on the 1,020th hill or the 1,031st hill? There's a lot more than 1,000 hills in the world. It's meaning a period of a long time. Okay? All right. Just that in passing. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. I was talking to Frank the other day, and he was encouraging me about and we were talking about the great cloud of witnesses that gave their lives in martyrdom. Can we do no less? Thinking about Fox's Book of Martyrs, Esther just
finished it? Did you finish it, Esther?
All right. Just finished reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. We have a great history of people that stood in the gap and gave their lives for the holy cause of liberty. And so here it is right here. Witness of those that were beheaded for the cause of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, there's something we should be able to deduce from this passage logically with the term the first resurrection. If you have the term first resurrection, and if you've heard the term biblically, first Adam. How many have heard the biblical term first Adam? All right. Now, what can we deduce from the term first resurrection? Anybody want to take a stab at it? There's going to be another one. Otherwise, he would say, this is the resurrection. But he said, first resurrection. So far, I agree with Fred. And I think Ray had it there. First resurrection means there's going to be another one. Now, we don't know if there's two or three just by reading this verse, or 10 or 20. But we know there's more than one. All right? So he says here, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now look at verse 14, just for the sake of time. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. So he says, those that have had part, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. The second death will have no power. When the great judge of the universe casts into the lake of fire those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, it will be a second death for them. So that we see in Revelation two resurrections that are associated with the millennial reign of Christ. Now, we don't have just Revelation 20 here. What will make it very clear to us is when we go to John in just a moment, because he makes it very clear. One resurrection, though, is spiritual, and the other is physical, and yet future. Future for us. So open your Bibles to John 5, and that's where we'll have our thought for this morning. John chapter 5. And it will be real clear, I think, to you in John chapter 5. Jesus is teaching here. As we begin in verse 24 of St. John chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, and that believing is more than just saying, oh yeah, I believe Jesus probably existed. I believe he's probably a pretty good man. No, no. They understand the implications of putting all your life and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those days, you know, to believe meant possibly that you'd lose your life. It wasn't just, oh yeah, I believe Jesus. No, no. You made a decision, a conscious decision to follow him. Even if it means your very life being taken from you, you're following Jesus. All right. So I say unto you, he that believeth, heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. That's that we read in Revelation. Lake of fire. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So before someone, let's read it again, and shall not come into condemnation, the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. We pass from death unto life before the consuming day of judgment and the summation, the consummation of all things. Jesus is going to go on a little bit further if I'm a little bit muddy there. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not, don't be perturbed about this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now we speak of another resurrection. and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So in verse 25 and verse 24, we have a spiritual resurrection of those that have passed from death unto life. That is the first resurrection. If you've passed from death unto life, you've been, as Peter says, you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. You have passed from death unto life. We call this being born again, being saved. All right, this is what we call salvation, the born again experience. Having passed from death, we're born into this world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We commit sin. We're worthy of death. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive eternal life, and we are past then the death sentence that is upon us, flees from us, if you would, because Jesus took that penalty upon His shoulders, as we sang about this morning, and now we've passed from the judgment of death unto a judgment of life in eternity with the Lord. And this is a spiritual resurrection. You can't see it, but you've experienced it. Can't see it outwardly. You have passed from death unto life. Should you die in the scene, come off the scene of action in death in the next half hour, you immediately go into the presence of the Lord because you've passed from death unto life. Paul says to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. So we must be resurrected spiritually first. We must have this new birth experience where we're given life, an impartation of divine life. Peter says it's an implanting of a divine seed. To get physically born, there was an implanting of a physical seed from the man to the woman. That's how you get born, physically. To get spiritually, the Holy Spirit will implant in you a divine seed. All right? And that is the new birth experience. And then Peter says, we grow together in this. So as the Father has life in Himself and He gives life to the Son, so the Son now gives life to you and I. And then he says, but not only do you have a spiritual resurrection, he says, marvel not about this, but the time is coming when they that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and they'll come forth, having those unto good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus is teaching in John 5:24-29, we have a spiritual resurrection now. But that spiritual resurrection and that gift of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians, is a type, it's a signal, it's a ticket, if you would, unto the physical resurrection unto eternal destiny. What's the term if you buy a piece of property? It's the earnest. You put down earnest money. The Holy Spirit given to you and I is the earnest of the completed work that Jesus Christ will do when He changes our bodies from a corruptible body into an incorruptible body. That's the word I was searching here for just a moment ago. Paul says in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit, it's an earnest. The new life that we have is an earnest of the life that we will receive in Him. Now, Jesus said in John 3 and verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know this verse. But he that believeth not on the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. You believe on the Son this morning, you're trusting Him as Lord and Savior, you've received of His love and His mercy and His forgiveness, you have everlasting life. You're a part of the first resurrection. Revelation tells us if you're a part of the first resurrection, the second death, because we die physically, that's the first death, but then you can die a second death, and that is to die an eternal separation from Jesus Christ in hell, the lake of fire. That's what he's talking about there in Revelation chapter 20. But he says, don't go to the lake of fire. He says, don't go to that eternal judgment, that second death. Be born and resurrected in the first resurrection. Receive Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. And that second death, that second judgment, will have no hold on you. And you will be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let me read it to you one more time. He that believeth on the Son. If you believe on the Son this morning, you have everlasting life. But he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. Jesus has made the way. He's prepared the way. We receive the resurrection of life, which now is, and a resurrection in the life which is to come, because He was the first fruits from the dead. Father, I thank You for this resurrection day. We appreciate the fact that we can always, but for sure, yearly study these truths, Lord. We thank You, Lord, Father, that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, even as it says in Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit indwells us, You will also quicken our mortal bodies, make them alive, and that we too will have a resurrection, Lord, in that great judgment day, the day of the consummation of all things. We look forward to that resurrection day, Lord. We look forward to that day when we'll meet our loved ones who have gone on before, and that we will meet You face to face, Lord Jesus. So we thank You for an opportunity to share in Your resurrection. We believe it, Lord. We believe You. We've received from Your hand, and we're grateful. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.